Today's scriptures come from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you rejoiced, even if now for a little, while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning again. What a glorious day. You know, I get the sun in my eyes. I hope it's not blinding or you can't see me or anything like that. But if I do, I'll move over. Well, I can't move over there. I have to stay here. So, yeah. Hey, you know, I started out my week this week by going down a rabbit hole. Or if you've ever seen the movie Up, Squirrel. Oh, nobody laughed. You need to watch the movie Up. It's an old movie now. It's over 10 years old. But if you're a dog lover, you understand what squirrel means. I have to say that to Wrigley only once, and he's at the back door thinking the squirrel is in his yard. So, but that, what happens is you get sidetracked real easy. And so on Monday morning, I get in here, and I check the attendance, and I go on Facebook and look at how many people watch the online service live, and I start looking at the numbers, the statistics. And so I usually do that for this week, and then I'll look back at last week's service and see how many people watched it during the week, because it builds, you know. And so I found myself all of a sudden about an hour and a half into my day still looking at all these statistics. I was back to 2019. I was comparing last year at this time to this year at this time. So much has happened in that time. You know, I was reminded, you know, we started the pandemic lockdown just before Easter at the end of March. Do you remember that? 7 months ago. Can you believe it? It's been almost, you know, it's been over a half a year that we have been living in this different world, in this different lifestyle. Wow. You know, many are struggling to find their joy, to find their peace during this turbulent time. That's why when we had that prayer, all those different ways, you know, that we've been tripped up, we've been beaten down. And so it's a struggle. You know, we long to return back to normal, knowing, as we say that statement, that it will never happen, right? Our normal will never be what it was. I was talking with my spiritual director recently, and she asked me if I was longing for things to return to normal, and I responded, "We'll never return to our old normal. We'll find our new normal with the help of God, empowering us and transforming us through our relationship with Jesus Christ through that indwelling of the Holy Spirit that creates a spiritual respiration that gives vitality to our lives." You know, think about that. To the exiles in Babylon, God, through the prophet Isaiah, said these wonderfully refreshing and encouraging words to a people that were being held down, that were being restricted, couldn't live the life that they wanted to live. Does it sound a little familiar? You're going to find out that this life of a faith of Christian is something that's been repeated throughout history. In this struggle that we're finding ourselves in. And God said through Isaiah these words, "See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and the streams in the wasteland." Are you looking? You remember last week we talked about conflux moments, those moments when God breaks into our lives in a powerful way that transforms us. Are you looking for it? I hope so. I hope you are looking for it. Back in March, we were in Lent, learning how to deepen our spiritual respiration through learning the five breakthrough prayers. Many of you have told me repeatedly that those five prayers have given you hope many a time during these hopeless times. For those of you who are new to our church, or online visiting for the first time, you can go to our website, fumcdixon.org, and if you click on the prayer tabs all the way over to the right, you'll see a drop down. It says Opening the Floodgate of Breakthrough Prayer. At that place, we have all of our videos, all the messages, the paper on outlines, the helps that are there to teach you about breakthrough prayer if you haven't had that opportunity. So it's a place to go to see what we're talking about. You know, this past week, we started a new initiative, a church-wide initiative called Dixon First Reads Together. We have been invited to experience reading the Bible in a new way. How you doing? How are you doing? You know, Pastor, there you go, making us do something new again. Why our lives are in a mess. Yep, I am. No, I'm not. God is. You know, God is in the business of doing new, right? Remember that? Right there. See, I am doing a new thing. If you read the end of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's something that happens really special. It's called the resurrection. It's new life. You know, God is in the business of resurrection. God is in the business of bringing new life into places that were dead. So I invite you to take a minute to look at that. And so we've been starting to read 1 Peter 1, right? Now, if you haven't done that yet or you're not familiar with it, we have an outline on how we're doing it. And it's in the Herald. Have people started getting their heralds yet this week, the new ones? Yeah? Good. If you haven't, you can go online and get it. Or, as you leave today, Pastor Young's son and I have the handout that will help you. So if you want to be a part of this reading the Bible in a new and different way, just come see us after church as we're outside handing out communion for the drive-through. So we started reading 1 Peter together. This new way of reading is actually a very old traditional way of reading the Bible. It's called Lectio Divina. You reread the same verses, in our case, the same chapter, repeatedly, asking new questions each time as you go through. You're waiting for the patiently. How you doing? Patiently. Waiting for the Holy Spirit to reveal new insights to you. And Lectio Divina is best when it's surrounded by prayer, best when it's done in a community. That's why God had us begin with the breakthrough prayers back in Lent, you know? And then we journeyed recently through living in community to remind us that we are stronger together, that we are better together. And this made us ready for this Dixon First Reads Together. So, was the first week of reading the same chapter over and over hard? No? Yes? Someone is going like this, they're not quite sure. Yeah. You know, it was hard for me. I'm one of those people that likes to keep the line moving, you know? I'm always looking for the next thing to do. You know, hey, I got a question. Do you chew your food carefully, savoring the flavor of each bite and just staying in the moment? Or do you basically swallow it to get the dinner over with so you can get on to something else? That's me. I don't want to waste my time eating. I want to get it over and done with and get on to something else. We are inviting you to be a chewer, to be someone that savors the flavor and the taste, to linger with the Word of God so God can speak to you. And you know, God is speaking in the words of the first chapter of 1 Peter. You know, in 1 and 2 Peter, the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the Jewish Christians that were experiencing persecution throughout the Roman world. They were experiencing this persecution because of their faith. And he was writing to comfort them, to remind them of the hope of eternal life, but also to challenge them to continue to live lives, holy lives. You know, those that were suffering were reminded that they were partnering with Christ in his suffering. As we resuffer, we must remember that Christ is both our hope in the midst of suffering and also our example of how to overcome suffering faithfully. So this beginning chapter is an invitation from Peter to turn towards God, to move back into a relationship with God if you don't have one with God, to check it out, to renew it, to live a life in whatever part of the world you find yourself in, to live life to the fullest because of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ, by allowing the Holy Spirit to form your life, as it says in verse 16, to be holy as I am holy. Holy. To be holy is to obey God's word out of deepest respect for God's wishes, rather than out of compulsion. It's to love others, especially God's children. Who are God's children? Everybody. Yeah, we don't get to pick and choose, do we? You know, John Wesley referred to this living a holy life as spiritual respiration. Have you heard that before? I said it two times before, just in the part today. So if you haven't heard it, you did. Yeah, spiritual respiration. He says this. He said that holiness of life arises out of holiness of heart. Holiness of life arises out of holiness of heart. And that comes out of having that spiritual respiration, being immersed in God. In Psalm 150, I have this beautiful plaque that someone made for me that hangs in my church after I preached this one Sunday. It says, we breathe in God's love and we breathe out praise to God. Psalm 150. Yeah, breathing in God's love and God's grace and breathing out praise. That's our life. Is our life a praise? Does it bring God joy and hope? You know? So we're reading this scripture, Lectio Divina, right? Repeatedly. And Pastor Jay read it for us earlier. So I want you to take a moment. And I want you to, I'm going to reread it, okay? And I want you to think about the words as I say them. What words jump out at you? What words touch your heart? What words speak to you as I read this again? And you can follow along on the screen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have suffered various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your soul. Those words, some of those jump out at you. And it's part of one of our questions of the day, one of the days when you do that. And when I read the whole chapter, this is what came up in my head. That's my head. Now you see inside of it. Yeah. New birth, ransom, reverent fear, born anew, faith. All those words that remind us that God loves us and gave us Jesus Christ and gave us a way to live. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Christ is our new birth because of Christ's resurrection. We have the opportunity for new life. Jesus will redeem the faithful. Christ is our salvation. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of what God has done through Christ is a reminder that it is culminated when Christ comes again. Christ, God's Son, God, the Holy Spirit, are holy. So we should be holy. We should live a life that shows the love of God found in Jesus Christ through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, be holy because I am holy. All because we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, the perfect, unblemished Lamb. Amen? Amen. Yeah. So, I encourage you to go to chapter 2 this week. Now, if you haven't started, as we have always said in our Bible reading, don't get upset. Don't say, I might as well stop now because I can't ever get caught up again. Don't worry about it. You've got choices. You can go right to chapter 2 and start reading this week. Or maybe since there's 5 days of reading, maybe you'll do the first 2 days with chapter 1. And then you do the next 3 days with chapter 2. Just do it. Read it. And remember to pray. Follow those steps that we have given you. Yeah. Here's your invitation to join into the journey to know God's heart, to find a renewed hope, to strengthen your mind for the new normal that awaits us down the road. Let us pray. Oh God, you speak in so many powerful ways, yet they're subtle. We don't always hear them when we should because we're overwhelmed by the world around us. The noise of the world is a static that won't go away. It's a ringing in our ears sometimes that stops us from truly hearing what others are saying, especially you. So, Lord, you put out the invitation for us to walk with you as we read the books of 1st and 2nd Peter, to walk together as a church as we learn how to live under your love, how to be holy, and how to share that love with the world around us. Oh God, walk with us daily. Encourage us to dive deeply into your loving presence through knowing you through the reading of Scripture. And Lord, may we always be on the outlook, looking outwardly to see where you are at work so we can shout for joy at the miracles, at the wonderful words, at the wonderful works that you are doing in this world around us. We pray this in your precious, precious name.